guard your prayers. I know it's seeming like it's taking a long time to get through these articles, but that's all right. We're just been doing this. Lord has been leading, and we're on about the 15th article of faith tonight, and we'll try to get into this with the help of the Lord. We're on the faith of the Christian Sabbath, and I know we all probably figure we know all this, and we should, but I want to really think on this and the importance of what we believe is our faith in the Sabbath. And I'll just read this. It says, our faith of the Christian Sabbath, we believe that the first day of the week is the Lord's Day, or Christian Sabbath, and it is to be kept sacred to religious purposes by abstaining from all secular labor and sinful recreation, by the devout observance of all the means of grace, both provided and public, both private and public, and by preparation for the rest, and by preparation for the rest that remaineth for the people of God. And like I say, just bear with me, these new glasses, and they're a little different on my eyes. I apologize. I'm having a little trouble there with them, but in this, want us to remember as we think about this, and I know there's a lot of people debates on Saturday, Sunday, those type things as far as our Sabbath goes. But I do want us to understand that in this, as far as under the Jewish laws, from all I can understand, like I say, I ain't no theologian or nothing, but under the Jewish times, it would have been on a Saturday. It would have been the seventh day at the end of the week. And that was when their Sabbath was. But from the way that the Christian Sabbath is we go from, and we can read scriptures, and we will here in a minute about this, the resurrection of Christ, and Christ resurrected on the first day of the week, and the Christian Sabbath, from the time that we started doing this, and we'll go through and read some scriptures to explain this, but. It starts at the first of the week. And like I say, I know there's a lot of people, you know, they'll fall out with you over this and that, little things like that, you know, but I'm telling you, we observe Sunday as our Sabbath. And that word means nothing more than just the day of rest that we observe, and a day that we set aside to observe the holiness of God. To lay aside other things that we do normally through our week and everything else. We lay that aside for that day to be sanctified and holy unto God. But if anybody ever gets into debate with you over that, it ain't worth arguing over. But we're gonna stick to the Sunday and those type of things, you know, and because that's just the way that we're laid out is in our Christian faith. But like I say, we'll get into some scriptures here. Want to turn over to Acts to start with, the 20th chapter, about the 7th verse, and we'll read right there. I want to, while Jens is turning there, I want to read, though it's not in our paper, is our scriptures. But I want to read over in Luke, in the 24th chapter of the book of Luke, just a second here. And I know this is familiar, but I want us to understand from find it here. in the 24th chapter of the book of Luke, and this is just explaining about the resurrection of Christ. And the first verse says, "Now upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came unto the sepulchre, bringing the spices which they had prepared, and certain others with them. And they found the stone rolled away from the sepulchre, and they entered in and found not the body of the Lord Jesus." And then we'll turn back over to where we want to read there in the 20th chapter and about the 7th verse of Acts. It says, "And upon the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread, Paul preached unto them, ready to depart on the morrow, and continued his speech until midnight." And then, if you would, turn over to 1 Corinthians, 16th chapter. And we'll read the first couple of verses in that. It says, Now concerning the collection for the saints, as I have given order to the churches of Galatia, even so do ye. Upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store, as God hath prospered him, that there be no gatherings when I come. And the reason I wanted to read that the way I did is from over in Luke, we see that's when the Lord resurrected, the first day of the week. And then we see that when we start seeing the church gather at this point, they no longer observe the natural things of the Jewish Sabbath as they once did. And after the resurrection of Christ and the newness of life that he brought to churches, we start reading where the church was gathering on the first days of the week, and when they were together and when they were doing things. So that's just to kind of give you an idea of just like what we were reading to start with there at the beginning of that. It says we believe that the first day of the week is the Lord's Day or Christian Sabbath. And that's why we celebrate that day of Sabbath, that day of rest on Sunday, as we do, it's the first day of the week. But just wanted to get that in there. And then it goes on to say, you bear with me, I'm gonna have to go back to my old glasses. But it is to be kept sacred to religious purposes. And I guess we all know what sacred would be. That'd be holy, you know, and sanctified unto God. But turn over, if you will, over to Exodus, the 20th chapter. Very, very familiar, and about the 8th verse. He says, "Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, and the 7th day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, nor that thou nor thy son nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates." And we read there, just like I say, that's where the Jewish Sabbath would be on the 6th day. But yet us honoring it on Sunday as we do, it still says to remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. And a lot of times we'll say that and keep it holy. But remember the Sabbath day and to keep it holy. You know, if you truly think about the sanctity and as it reads in that, sacred to religious purposes, you remember the Sabbath to keep it holy. Remember that God's blessed us with through all the gifts and a lot of the things that he's put upon our life. And when he gives us that day of rest, that's a day to appreciate Him. That's a day to worship Him. That's a day to lay aside every other thing we've got going on, which has become not so important to most people anymore. And there again, we could get into a lot of things that probably make a lot of people mad, but it's the truth of the matter. You know, we take that and we will take, it says to remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. The Sabbath day. And you know, we take, and if we give the Lord, an hour or two in the morning at church, then we've done all we needed to do. The rest of the day is ours. But that's not what that's not our faith in the Christian Sabbath, in this Sabbath day. That day is to the Lord. And truly, you go back and you look under the law before Christ came, and you look, if you broke a law of the Sabbath, and you pick up a stick, you get caught doing anything, it was death. It was death upon you. And in this, you know, we take it very lightly anymore. Sundays we take very lightly, and it is for a day of rest. But think about this in this manner. How much resting do we do in the Lord on that day? How much resting in Him? And remembering that day to keep it whole. And we think it's about our naps. And I like to rest, and I like to take a nap. But I'm just telling you, we think it's about our physical rest more so than we do about the keep it holy part. How much of our Sabbath day do we devote in prayer? How much of our Sabbath day do we devote in study? How much of our Sabbath day do we devote in meditation on the Lord? Like I say, I know this could get, you know, a lot of times I get into stuff like this, and it seems like you're being, you know, you're one of those kind of people, you know, where people just look at you funny, like you're too strict, too this or too that. But I'm just telling you the truth. I do not keep it as holy as it should. I do not. But that day is a holy, consecrated, sanctified day to set aside to honor God. And yet we take it, and we ourselves, we still give a lot of it to ourselves. You know what I mean? And we'll run late to church because our nap run over. We'll miss church because our nap run over. And in the time when we've got, we sit around and we do many other things besides meditating on the service that's going to come that night. And putting our thought into, Lord, what could I do tonight? I want this to be holy. I want it to be glorified unto You. What could I do tonight? What could I do this morning? Do we wake up in the early hours of the morning thinking about service, thinking, getting our minds in the thought process of trying to keep that day holy and sanctified and sacred unto God? That's our faith in the Sabbath. We'll drive by and see somebody on a lawnmower or something. We're ready to just hate one. Okay, that's wrong. That's bad. But just like a lot of times when we talk about the Scriptures, and when we look into the Scriptures, Lord, let me see me. You may not be on a lawnmower, but how holy are we? We may not be out here mowing hay. We may not be doing a lot of things, Colin. We'll think we need to do that day, but how holy are we keeping? How much are we giving the Lord our mind, or are we giving it to our rest, our favorite programs, our favorite this, our favorite that, and doing things unto ourselves? Like I said, I ain't being mean, but the Lord called me to tell the truth. If it hits me, it hits me. But I'm just being honest. That is what the Sabbath, that restful day, rest in the Lord. There's no greater rest than that. I thought, I thought a little bit, and I'll get on over into this, and I'm not, like I say, I'm not trying to be harsh. I'm just going through the truth of what we believe and what our faith is in this. But I thought a whole lot on this, and it's something to think about. You take this, devote a week, 2 weeks. And, you know, things come by prayer and fasting. We gain things with the Lord through that. And just take and devote your life for just 1 week. Because I could say in me that I don't have a whole week that's ever devoted truly to God. There's other things. You just got to do the things you get. But take in every spare moment you've got. Just pick a week. And when you've got that time, sit down, study, pray, read. Don't turn on any other thing. Devote your thoughts. Devote your time to God. And come in here on a Sunday morning and tell me it don't make a difference. Devote just a little time and come in here and truly see if it won't make your Sabbath a whole lot more restful. My heart's been going on that a lot lately for myself. Of how much time that I devote just through the week. And to come in here on Sunday and truly let this day be a holy day. Not thinking about what I got to do Monday. Not thinking about what I did yesterday. But get my mind totally focused and my heart totally focused on the Lord for Sunday. Leave church and think about, Lord, what are you going to do tonight? Are you going to save somebody tonight? Because I was talking to my cousin on the phone today. We were talking about prayer, and he said, you know, he says, we went to the altar at church, and he said, we went down there and just everybody prayed, sounded like praised their heart out for an object, you know, in somebody's life. And he said, you know how many times I've got up from prayer and somebody looked over at me and said, I hope they're going to be okay. And he said, I thought we'd just come up here praying and trusting the Lord that He was going to do it. You know, and how much do we put forth believing that God's getting ready to do something? Is what I'm saying. We go through a lot of motions, a lot of natural motions, but do we truly come in here and believe what God's going to do on this holy, restful day? He gave us that day to rest from every other thought, every other thing in this world that we deal with, David, every day. You tell me what burdens us the most in our life, our jobs, the weights of the natural things we've just got to do. And it'll weight you down and keep you aggravated and depressed. But God gave us a day, a time, a Sabbath, time to get away. I'm going to read the definition of that Sabbath for you, because there's another word in that and I want to make sure I don't miss it. It says an intermission of pain and or from pain and sorrow. In other words, a break. Where you can get away from every care, everything that you've got going on in your life. It's not just a blessing that God gave us time away from the world to come into the house of God. And that's another place that gets me sometimes when I hear that God don't need the church and the church don't matter and all these different things like that. Because this is a place of rest for people who truly love God. It's not a burden to think Sunday's rolling around. It's not a burden to think Wednesday's rolling around. It's your time to just get with God's people and enjoy the Lord. And come together in rest. An intermission from every pain, every sorrow, everything you've got going on in life. I'm thankful that the Lord gives us that. He knows that we need. I'll try to move on here. But then, turn over to Isaiah 58. I'll just read back through this because I know I talked and interrupted what we read there. But it says, we believe that the first day of the week is the Lord's Day or Christian Sabbath, and it's to be kept sacred to religious purposes by abstaining from all secular labor and sinful recreation. Turn over here to Isaiah. And listen to what the Lord says here in this, in the 13th and 14th verse. He says, if thou turn away thy foot from the Sabbath, from doing thy pleasure on my holy day, and call the Sabbath a delight, the holy of the Lord honorable, and shalt honor him, not doing thy own ways, nor finding thine own pleasure, nor speaking thine own words, then shalt thou delight thyself in the Lord. And I will cause thee to ride upon the high places of the earth, and feed thee with the heritage of Jacob thy father, for the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it. You understand what he's saying right there in that? Just exactly what I was trying to say. If we just turn ourselves away from doing what we want to on God's day that he gave us, and devote our hearts, our minds, our thoughts, and get in one mind, one accord, seeking the will of God, he would let us. He'd let us go upon the high places of the earth. I don't want to quote that wrong. Then shalt thou delight thyself in the Lord, and I will cause thee to ride upon the high places of the earth. Ain't it good when the Spirit of the Lord comes by and just lifts you up above all your problems, all your cares, all your worries? And we just talk about how stressful things is, and I need to get away, and I need to do this, and I need to do that. And there again, don't go away and say I was preaching against vacations. And there's nothing wrong with doing things with our families. I'm not throwing stones, none of that. I'm just telling you, we can do those things and be holy in them, and honor God in everything we do and everywhere we go and all that we do. But I'm just saying, on the Sabbath day that's set aside for the rest of the people of God, we come together and have our minds all men. One purpose. Glorify God. Honor God. Do his will. He'll let us ride on the high places. You can get above. You can get carried away. Even when you're going through burdens and you're going through hardships, going through trouble, you can get with the people of God and get uplifted. And not within yourself, I'm not talking about uplift, but get uplifted in the Spirit of God and the glory of God. Honoring him, not honoring ourselves, not I deserve it, but realize that we don't deserve it, but he gave us a day. He gave us a time that we can gather one with another to glorify him, and he'll carry us away for a little while. But we're going to have to put away a lot of things. And that's what we don't want to do a lot of times. We don't want to put away. We don't want to set aside time for God. It's me. It's me. And that's the way we look at it. I deserve this. And I'll never forget him. I won't even say his name. He's a good preacher, and all of them knows him. They told me one time he preached some revivals, and he preached like two or three, right, just back to back. And he said, man, he said, I was so tired. And he said, we had gone and gone and gone for weeks. Some of them were off, and some of them were near. We did all this, and he said, he'd come up one the Sunday. We went to church that Sunday morning after the last revival, and he said, come up like on a Sunday night, and he said, Lord, laid a church on my heart to go preach that. He didn't pastor. And he said, Lord, lay the church on my heart. He said, won't you go over here? He said, we're going to rest tonight. He said, I thought that. I said, Lord bless me and all of them revivals that I got to preach in. And he said, I thought, no. He said, I believe we're going to stay in tonight and we're going to rest. He said the Lord just, he said, really? After all I've allowed you to be part of and all I've allowed in your life to be blessed, he said, there's no worse for you to sit down. Your rest is in the house of God. He said he went on to that church that the Lord had laid on his heart, and God just blessed him. Allowed him to preach that night. Allowed him just to feel him in that. But that's our carnal man. That's our natural person. We think, you know, well, I'm just going to stay home and rest. There's no rest in that. Not really. We may get some physical, bodily, what we say, rest, but that's not true rest. They rest in the Spirit of God. They rest in the house of God. They rest here in this. If we turned away the things this, I don't know. Anybody with me? I'm just trying to go through this way the Lord's been dealing with me. I thought so much, and I was talking today to a man. I thought about Lazarus a whole lot this week. And how he laid out, I mentioned it a little bit the other day. He laid outside the rich man's gate. And the rich man fared sumptuously, dressed in the finest of linens and all that. But Lazarus didn't beg for a stay. Lazarus didn't desire to have a whole loaf of bread from the rich man. He just begged for the crumbs.
There's a man who realized it don't take everything the world's got to offer to make him happy. Just give me my little bit to get me by. I thought on that.
And at the end of the day, which one of them men found rest? True rest. The one that it didn't take much here to please him. And a lot of times we think the things and the material goods and things of that nature, it's what it's going to take to make us happy and please.
When actually if we did with a whole lot less, we probably have a whole lot more rest.
And peace in life. But there again, just getting back to the Sabbath on that, thinking about that, if we could lay aside all the weights and all the sin that does so easily beset us and run with patience this race that's set before us. Just think. God said he'd let us ride on the high places. Think how much more rest you have in the Lord than in the world. Than in our own natural man. I'll move on to these. Turn over to Hebrews 10th chapter. And it goes on and says, by the devout observation of all the means of grace, both private and public. And we'll read there in Hebrews 10, 24 and 25. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much more as ye see the day approaching. And you think there, in that, just like we preached on that before, and no doubt this has all thought on it, as the manner of some is. There's some that does not think this is very important. Assembling together, gathering up with God's people. And I ran into a guy not long ago. He was passing out these CDs of the Bible in Lowe's parking lot. And he seemed like he was doing a great thing. He said, I see people and I hand these out. It's just the scripture. It's just somebody reading the scripture. And I said, where do you go to church? I don't go to church. And he says, I've got my own church. And I said, brother, I said, you need church. He said, we'll just kind of have to disagree. In other words, what he was trying to say there. He said, me and God, he said, we've got it all worked out our way. You need church. I said, what about forsaking not the assembling of yourselves together? I know that, I know, but he never would come to it. Never would hear it. Super nice guy. And like I say, I believe in his heart he's trying to do a great thing. But those scriptures he's passing out won't back up what he tells you. He needs to assemble someone together. Because there's a lot, as the manner of Sunday, is people don't walk together. You want to do what you want to do on Sunday. I've told you. You know, growing up, my parents was like, live as good at home as down there. And no, it didn't work out. It didn't work out that way. You start finding time for yourself, and God gets cut out of your day. And that Sabbath day, like I said, you wouldn't have found a lawnmower cranked up around our house. You wouldn't have found nobody outside digging a ditch or laying a block nowhere. You wouldn't have found that going on. But we sure wasn't keeping it holy. It's not just a day of rest for this old physical body, but it's a day for resting in the holiness of God. And we'll read over in Acts, if you want to, in the 13th chapter. It only calls for the 44th verse, you know, in these scriptures to back this up. But I want to back up and read just a little bit more. And maybe I'll just start about the 34th verse. And like I say, this is kind of to go along with what it says there in that by the devout observation of all the means of grace in both private and public, and then by the preparation of the rest of the rest that remaineth for the people of God. But it says, and as concerning that he raised him up from the dead, now no more to return to corruption, he said on this wise, I will give you the sure mercies of David. Wherefore he saith also in another psalm, thou shalt not suffer thine holy one to see corruption. For David, after he had served his own generation by the will of God, fell on sleep and was laid unto his fathers and saw corruption. But he, whom God raised again, saw no corruption. Be it known unto you, therefore, men and brethren, that though this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins, well, listen as we get on down here. And by him all that believe are justified from all things which ye could not be justified by the law of Moses. Beware therefore, lest that come upon you which is spoken of the prophets. Behold, ye despisers and wanderers and perish. For I work a work in your days, a work which ye shall in no wise believe, though a man declare it unto you. And when the Jews were gone out of the synagogue, the Gentiles besought that these words might be preached to them the next Sabbath. Now when the congregation was broken up, many of the Jews and religious proselytes followed Paul and Barnabas, who, speaking to them, persuaded them to continue in the grace of God. And the next Sabbath day came almost the whole city together to hear the word of God. I wanted to read all of that to give you kind of a little bit more of a context of this, and talking about how important it is in assembling ourselves together. It stirred something up in these people, these Gentile people. They were telling them not to be preaching these things, not to be coming around and telling it. But it stirred something when they got together, and they gathered together, and he told them, he said that they couldn't believe that unless it was declared to them by a man, by some man. And it's important that our people
gets in the house of God, our lost people, so they can hear the preached word of God. And they're drawn through the Spirit. And when it's declared unto them, they can hear these things and they can come to them. And it talks about that and how that when they all came together, it said, and the next Sabbath day came almost the whole city together to hear the word of God. There, that goes out into, once this gospel gets declared unto people, it gets to stirring and it gets to spreading. And it gets bigger and bigger and bigger. And then when people's truly getting serious about this, and then you come in and the house is full, there's people sitting there that needs to hear the word of God. And it's able to get declared unto them. There's a lot of times that people ain't got a desire to come down to church, because to be honest with you, people down to church don't look very desirable. I mean, we made a whole lot of things. We could get into a whole lot of reasonings about a whole lot of different people, I guess. But do we truly find our peace, our rest down here? Or does people see us finding our peace and our rest more in the world than they do at the church? And is Sunday just, what'd you do Sunday? We go to tell them what we did Sunday. We leave out and go to church half the time. Didn't get in much, slept, and this and that, and this and that. And if we do, we went to church, went home, got me a nap. And you know what I'm saying? This is a day that the Lord give us to rest and keep whole. And we can once we get to resting in the Lord, then these others are going to want to have what we've got. These people desire, and the whole city together, almost the whole city came together to hear the word of God. There's something getting cold, and they saw something in the church that was a desire. And I tell you this, who don't work better after you've had some rest? Is it not the truth? We get home from our actual job, and you've worked all day long, and you go in there, and when you kick back, it helps getting up the next morning and getting back at it a whole lot easier, don't it? We come down here and let this day be holy. Let the Sabbath day, that day of true rest, let it be holy in our life. How much better are we going to go out there and be able to work on that job the next day? And I'm not talking about to get more block clay, get more stuff dug, more things graded, more things, more cattle fed. No, I ain't talking about them. I'm talking about more rested in the Lord. But where you encounter that lost person, that you're not going to have a little bit more fire about you to tell them how good God is. But, pardon me, I won't go too far. So let me probably think I done did, but no. I'm going to maybe read one more place over Hebrews in the fourth chapter. And I ain't trying to stand up and sound holier than thou. These are things I've got to work on in my life. All of these things. I'm not trying to sound like I've arrived in none of this. And this is our faith in what this Sabbath is. And how much are we putting our faith into works? This is what our church is established on. And our faith is the Sabbath day. And we need to put our faith and get some works behind it. And we'll see some results from it. But Hebrews 4. And I know this is familiar. I'll read 3 through 11 here. It says, For we which have believed do enter into rest, as he said, as I have sworn in my wrath, if they shall enter into my rest, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. For he spake in a certain place of the seventh day on this wise, and God did rest the seventh day from all his works. And in this place again, if they shall enter into my rest, seeing therefore
it remaineth that some must enter therein, and they to whom it was first preached entered not in because of unbelief. Again, he limited a certain day, saying in David, today, after so long a time, as it said, today, if ye will hear his voice, harden not your hearts. For if Jesus had given them rest, then would he not afterward have spoken of another day? There remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. For he that is entered into his rest, he also hath ceased from his own works, and God did as God did from his. Let us labor therefore to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. That's to show up. Preach some on the day of provocation and revival over there a little bit. And there's some that didn't receive promises because they went in, God was going to give them a day of rest. A time of rest. And they didn't gain that because of unbelief. If we can come in the house of God, really to rest in the Lord, we can receive some promises and we can receive true rest and peace in God. But I thank the Lord for this here. It might have been a little different, a lot more reading, teaching maybe tonight in it, but that's just the way the Lord gave it to us, and that's the only way I know to give it back. But keep studying in these and keep reading in it and like I say, really, really contemplate and meditate on that. About how much time and effort we put towards the things of God. And how much more of a return we could get on it. And how much more rest we could find in Him. If we truly just devote more to Him. But